As has already been expressed, it is good to see you all here this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day. Thankful that you made an effort to be here. You know, it's been a week. And I guess the only thing that I would ask for prayer is that the sun would come out. I think that would help a lot. But it's been kind of a cloudy few weeks, basically, and I just had a need and a desire for the light to shine, you know. We're children of light, not children of darkness, and this doesn't feel right to me. But it is good to see you all here today. So many children, so many of you young people who are here looking to Jesus for help and assurance. And so glad for each and every one of you, no matter where you're at on the scale, where you're at on the scale of growth. You know, if you've been a Christian for a long time or you've just given your life to Jesus Christ, it's good that you're here. And I do want to encourage you, if you have any desire at all to serve the Lord, maybe through worship, that you do sign up for the choir. I think it's going to be something different. I'm just going to stick to preaching and playing the bass. Now, Jennifer's pretty convincing, but I am looking forward to seeing some of you who I think have talent that you have hid under a bushel. And I'd like to see you get it out there where the world can see it. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. You've been here, if you were here last week, you know we kind of started a journey in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So if you would turn there, we want to continue with that this morning. Skip down to verse 4, that's where we're at. And we're going to be introduced to the first individual who had to live by faith. Now, if you ever thought about this or not, but Abel was the first person on the planet who ever fully lived by faith. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word today. And I pray, dear God, that as we study your word, as we dwell in your word this morning, that your word would go forth and not return void, but accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. We're grateful, God, for the people that are here today, for your people, those who have a desire to know you better, more intimately, to walk by faith and not by sight. For those of us here today, Lord God, who have gathered in your name to worship you by faith and to trust you wholly. We love you, Lord. We ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord God, to see more clearly the things that you have for us. And we'll be sure to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned just a minute ago, last week we began a faith journey through Hebrews chapter 11, which in some circles is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. In other words, there are people listed, and men and women listed in this chapter of the Bible, who discovered what God can do when his people learn how to walk and live and act by faith. The good news for us is that this is a concept that's not original or only for the people in the Old Testament. The author of the book of Hebrews is writing to New Testament believers in Jesus Christ. That's us. You and I are New Testament believers in Christ. And it was written for our learning and to challenge us to live by faith. And my biggest and strongest prayer at this moment, the most earnest prayer, I should say, is that in this time that we spend together in this passage of Scripture, that we will learn what it means to truly live by faith and to trust Almighty God. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the first person we're introduced to is a man by the name of Abel. And as I alluded to earlier, Abel is the first person on the list because he is the first man born in sin who fully lived by faith. Unlike his father and mother, Adam and Eve, Abel didn't get to live in a perfect environment and see God face to face. Adam and Eve walked with God and talked with God and experienced his presence in the cool of the evening. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they were removed from the garden. They were removed from the presence of God. And they're now operating under a curse. And that curse was already being felt in the second generation of humanity. When they sinned, God also killed an animal to provide a covering for them, which is symbolic and prophetic of the covering of sin through the shedding of blood. You'll remember that they tried to cover themselves. It was at this moment that they realized that they were naked and ashamed, and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. But God said, this isn't going to work. I can't use that. In other words, they were trying to cover themselves with the works of their hands, but God rejected their ability to cover themselves, and He created a way for Him to cover them. And as we look at the faith of Abel, we learn about the part that faith plays in worship. I pray that our hearts would understand a few things that God has for us today. You see, because Abel, like a lot of people listed in the chapter that we're studying, lived during the Old Testament. So in order for us to fully understand what all this means, we have to go all the way back to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament account of Cain and Abel is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. So turn with me, if you would, back to the first chapter, book of the Bible, fourth chapter. And I want to read verses 1 and following. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Now both of these boys were raised by parents who were sure that God was real. I mean, they weren't raised like so many people are today in atheistic homes or even agnostic homes. They were raised by a couple of people who knew that God was real. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening. Adam and Eve talked face to face with God. Adam and Eve were married. God did their wedding ceremony. They were convinced. They knew that God was real. And one of the things that these boys learned from mom and dad was the importance of going to church and to worship God. Now, I say go to church, and obviously church wasn't a thing until the New Testament. When Jesus birthed the church, and the Holy Spirit of God fell on the New Testament believers. But you know what I'm saying, right? They understood that there was a time and a place, that there was a specific way to worship God. And we read all of that in the 3rd through the 5th verses of Genesis chapter 4. And we clearly see that one of the boys got it right, and the other boy got it wrong. Both Cain and Abel went to worship, but only one of them was accepted. Did you know that it is possible to go to worship? It is possible to worship Almighty God and have that worship rejected by God? Did you know that that was possible? Cain ran into a problem that a lot of us run into today, and that is wanting to worship God our own way, wanting to worship like I want to worship, not like He has expected us to worship. But Cain came to church and he laid his offering of the fruit of the ground on the altar to God, and it just laid there. Abel came to church and he laid his offering of the firstborn of the flock and the fat. God accepted and consumed Abel's offering while Cain's offering laid there, and God said, I can't use that. God said, hey, I already told your parents, I already told your mom and dad, this doesn't work. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. This kind of thing doesn't fly with me. You remember the fig leaves came? Yeah, you remember mom and dad telling you the story? Yeah, you ought to know this isn't going to work. I reject that offering. And Abel, I accept your offering. That brings us right up to the first thing that we need to understand about faith and worship today, and that is this. To come into God's presence, you must deal with your sin. That is not popular. It's not something that you want to talk about. People tell you if you want to grow a big church, don't talk about sin. Don't talk about the wrath of God. Listen, I'm not here to build a big church. It's not my purpose. I'm here to fill this pulpit, not fill this church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will prevail against it. In fact, the only arrangement I had with the Lord Jesus Christ when I answered the call was if I would preach the gospel, He'd make a way for me. And so here I am, and I'm going to tell you folks, you cannot come into God's presence unless you deal with sin. You see, God had already made it clear to Adam and Eve that in order for them to come into the presence of God, you had to deal with the sin issue. And the only acceptable way to deal with sin is through sacrifice. Right? We're taught this in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is our schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus. So God slew an animal to deal with the sin of Adam and Eve. Abel slew an animal to deal with his own personal sin. But Cain tried to come to worship that day without first dealing with the sin issue in his life. And just like Cain, there are a lot of people today who want to show up to church, skip over their sin, and expect God just to be happy. If accompanied with your church attendance is your refusal to deal with the rebellion in your life, God's way, not your way, but God's way, your worship will not be accepted. It will lay there on the altar. The whole reason Jesus died on the cross was for our sin. The whole reason for Calvary was our need for atonement. That is why we center our worship on the Lord Jesus Christ, because without atonement, our worship will not be regarded. So, the first way to worship like Cain did and have your worship rejected, right? If you want to worship like Cain and have your worship rejected, you just worship the way he did. And the first thing that he did was not give God what he asked for and giving what he wanted in its place. Now, because what you just did, if you lived a life that is reflective of Cain's way of living and worshiping, what you just did was to say, hey God, you're wrong, I'm right, my way is better, but here I am in church. And it happens over and over again. Okay, the second thing that we need to understand about faith and worship is to come into and to come into God's presence is you must bring the first and the best. The first and the best. We're talking about faith and worship here. You must deal with your sin. Number two, you must bring the first and the best. Genesis 4:4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Now, what does all of that mean? Well, let me back up and say that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, but Abel brought the firstborn of his flock, and as the Bible says, and its fat. In other words, let me put it this way. Abel brought the first and the best, and he gave it to God. That's worship. Bringing the first and the best and giving. He didn't bring something that he didn't want himself. He didn't bring something that he wasn't using anyway. He brought what God had asked him to give. Cain showed up for worship, but his worship was rejected. Abel showed up and he brought God the first and the best. Cain's offering, if you think about it, had all the presentation of something very beautiful. It had all the appearance of something really special, but it was actually all a facade of religion. Cain's offering lays there on the altar, and God says, unacceptable. I can't use that. Now watch this. Verse 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. It wasn't just the offering that wasn't accepted. Because listen, folks, what you offer to God is never separated or never detached from you personally. God has seen how serious you are by how you offer him your time, your talent, and yes, your treasure. God is watching all these things, these tangible things, to see if you really trust him. And Cain, as the Bible says, was very angry and his countenance fell. He was angry because his worship was off. And the Bible says because he was angry, he became depressed. He became angry and he became depressed. He's depressed because he was angry, and he was angry because his worship was off target. His worship wasn't right, and now his emotions have taken control of his life. Are you listening this morning? Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Why has it fallen? God told Cain, hey, the reason why you're depressed is because the relationship between you and I It needs a little work. It's off. You need to work on it. Well, what area of his life and what area of his relationship with God was off? This may sound strange to you, but it was his worship. His worship. He didn't address his personal sin. He offered to God what he wanted to offer, not what God had asked for. And as a result, his emotions took over, and God wasn't going to fix it until Cain changed his worship. God's not going to fix it until you change your worship. Verse 7, if you do well, this is God speaking to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Listen, all Cain would have had to have done is said, you know what, you're right, God. All Cain would have had to have done is agree with God, go get himself a lamb without spot, without blemish, and come back to worship, lay that lamb on the altar, and God would have accepted it. And that's all God is asking of you, because you and I are going to make mistakes. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to drop the ball on occasion. And God said, look, all you got to do is straighten this out. If you do well, will you not be accepted? But then he goes on to say, and if you do not well, listen, sin lies at the door. Now the concept or the idea of sin became personified. Sin lies at the door. The enemy of your soul is lying in wait for you. The destroyer of men's souls is hiding like an animal ready to pounce on you. This is what God is warning Cain about, and this is all here for our learning. And the Bible goes on to say, as God speaks, and its desire is for you. Satan wants to destroy your life. Do you know that? Nothing would make him happier than to destroy the life of a believing Christian. But get this now. I'm going to blow your socks, pull them off when I read this. God said, but you should rule over it. You should rule over it. He said, Cain, you better correct this. You better get this straightened out, because sin lies at the door. Now stick with me. Cain is mad because he wanted to worship God his way, and God said, no. God's not going to change the rules for you, right? These things are in place because God is God, and let God be God and every man a liar. So now he's went from being mad because his worship was rejected to being depressed. Now he's depressed because his way didn't fly with Almighty God. Now his emotions are controlling his life, and the personification of evil and sin is waiting at the door to jump on him. You see, folks, hear me, please. Cain opened the door to sin when he offered God empty worship. Just crack the door a little bit. And that's the way it starts, isn't it? We just crack the door. Tiny little sin cracks the door. And pretty soon all hell is in. But he opened the door to sin when he offered God empty worship. And now that sin has grown and manifested to the point where it is threatening to destroy his very life. Sin opens the door to the enemy that wasn't opened before. And now we wind up under the control of sin. And it all starts because we offer God the leftovers, and God's not going to change it until you change your worship. But Cain doesn't address his sin. Cain doesn't change his worship. Cain doesn't bring his emotions under control. The sin that was waiting at the door jumps him. He's overwhelmed by emotion and anger and wrath, and he kills his brother Abel. And from that point on, Cain's life became a lifetime of misery. God said, because you've done this. First of all, God asked Cain, where's your brother? Where's your brother, Cain? Cain said, I don't know where he's at. Am I my brother's keeper? It's a good thing I'm not God. God said to Cain, you're not going to tell me where your brother is, but I already know because I've had a conversation with his blood. Did you catch that? The Bible says, though Abel is dead, his blood still speaks. God said, I know what's happened, and I know what you did, all because your worship was off. You allowed yourself to be overtaken by your emotion. You killed your brother. And I'm going to listen. From now on, he said, you're going to wander the earth, and I'm going to put a mark on you so no one is able to kill you. But what I am going to do is allow you to wander the earth and live out the rest of your life in misery. I don't know about you, but that sounds like hell to me. Anybody here this morning, don't raise your hand. Anybody here this morning living a miserable life all because you don't give God the worship that He deserves? Maybe you know what that's like. Maybe there was a point in your life where this was you. You know, another place in the New Testament, in the book of Jude, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. It's a powerful book. In the book of Jude, we read about the concept, or what is called, the way of Cain. The way of Cain. Or, if you want me to put that in a different way, false religion. The way of Cain is false religion. False religion is the way of Cain. And I got to tell you, God's not all that interested in religion. You know, the reason you're on this planet is because God wanted to fellowship with you. God created humanity to fellowship with. We were to have sweet fellowship with God. God is into relationship. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. God spoke with them. He had a relationship with them. God is not at all interested in religion. Man, in his attempt to approach God, comes up with religions. In a nutshell, false religion is trying to come to God like you please, not like He requires. So, not everybody who's talking about heaven is going there. There's no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. Amen. All of this is teaching us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And if you're trying to work your way into heaven, you're going to be very surprised, because no one is saved by their good works, by their good life, by the deeds that they do. The only work that saves you is the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You come to God through Christ, not by being a better person than someone else. Not by comparing yourself to some other individual and saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as they are. No. If you go the way of Cain, you're going to wander in misery for eternity. Now, there's one more thing that I want you to see, and I'll be finished this morning. Number three, you must come to God by what He says, not by what you think. Okay? You come God to God, you approach God through the Spirit of Revelation, through the Word of God, not by what you think, not what makes sense to your limited intellect, or what culture or the world is telling you. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. I must tell you, I'm actually having a migraine right now, and I can't see. So you pray for me, okay? I'm having a terrible time. I'm just winging it to the best of my ability. But this whole idea of approaching God by the Word of God, or by what the Word of God says, instead of our own thoughts, or what we think or have experienced, it brings us right back to the whole concept of faith, doesn't it? In the beginning of all this study, if the blood of Abel is speaking in the Old Testament, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that the blood of Abel is still speaking to us today, then what's it saying to New Testament believers? What is the blood of Jesus Christ saying to New Testament believers? Well, folks, it's saying the same thing that it said in the book of Genesis. And what did it say in the book of Genesis? It said in the book of Genesis that you cannot approach God through what you think, understand, or perceive in your human mind. You approach God through what He has revealed to you in Scripture and is acted upon by faith. What God says is so far beyond our ability to understand. So far beyond our comprehension. But listen, God has integrity. God is trustworthy. I act based upon what he says, not what makes sense to me, not what the media is saying, not what the culture is saying, not what my friends are telling me, not what my mother or my father or my sister or my brother are telling me. That's faith, operating by what God said, even though I don't understand it. That's the message of Abel, and that's what his blood is speaking to us today. And it all begins with your worship. Are you giving God the time and the talent and the treasure and the attention and the glory that he has asked for and that he alone deserves? Are you giving God the first and the best? Or are you throwing God the leftovers, that which you don't need, or that which is extra, or that which you don't want in the first place? I don't care how it may look to the people around you or the people who are watching. It is unacceptable to God. And it doesn't matter if the whole world is applauding you and you're not doing it God's way, your worship will be rejected. And the moment that happens, you open the door to sin. But if you give him the worship he requires, if you give him the praise that he deserves, your emotions, folks, will stay in check. Sin will have to remain hidden behind the door because the unchecked emotion didn't give him a foothold in your life. And when that happens, our Lord will regard your offering because it was done through faith in his offering at Calvary. Are you following me, folks? Say amen because I can't see you. Okay, amen. His offering. Faith in his offering. You know, the Bible, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, walking along the shore of the Jordan River, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Abel brought one lamb to cover his own personal sin. Later on, when God would establish the Passover, you remember the children of Israel in Egypt, and God established the Passover, he said, you take a lamb for one household. So everybody who's in that household, you take a lamb and that sin will cover the people who are in that household. You put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel there and the sin will be covered by the blood. Later on, at the Day of Atonement, God said, you take a lamb and it will cover the sins of the nation. Later on, when the Messiah came, there was one lamb for the sins of the world. The only way to approach God and have your sin covered is through sacrifice. And we don't need another lamb for a sacrifice because Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Do you know Jesus today in the full free pardon of sin? Let me ask you this, because it's very possible, I don't know, it's very possible that everybody in this place is living by faith and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's possible. It's very possible. It's probable. Okay? Because, first of all, you're here. But can I remind you that Cain went to church that day? And Cain could have been very sincere. Again, I'm sure that what Cain produced, I mean, the earth was just now beginning to live under the curse. So what the earth produced is probably so much more beautiful than what we experience today. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And I know that, and I've seen this happen, I've been at this long enough, people come to faith in Jesus Christ, completely trusting the blood, completely trusting the finished work at Calvary as the covering for their sin. They confess their sin, they plead the blood of Jesus Christ, they invite Jesus into their heart, but life goes on, and they get distracted, and the world begins to pull them this way or this way, and pretty soon they're trying to please themselves, or they're trying to please onlookers, or they're trying to please their peers, and we begin to drift off what God has intended for us, and we get to a point where God says, look, what you're doing isn't acceptable. You're my child, but what you're doing isn't acceptable, and I'm not going to fix it for you. You know, you and I have to activate our will about certain things in our lives. Amen? We can pray that God fixes something, and you know what? You need to pray that God fixes a problem in your life, or a circumstance will change, or a situation would be different. You need to pray and not cease. You need to pray and pray and pray. But there comes a time when you got to get up off your knees and activate your will and start doing what God has called you to do. Do it God's way, not your way. Do what God says, not what feels good. Do it the way God said to do it, not the way is convenient for you. When I look at this, I realize it's not so much what you get out of worship. Can I say it? It's what you bring to God in worship. Have you been bringing God your whole heart? Have you emptied yourself before? Listen, God wants you to walk in fellowship with Him. God wants you to trust Him. But it's got to be a decision that you make. And you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Otherwise, your emotions will eventually take over and you'll find yourself in a dark place. Would you stand with me? I'd like to pray for you this morning. I'd like to pray that God would place a hedge of protection around you, and that as we go into this time of decision, that God would open the door of your heart, that you would be willing to let Him step in. Heavenly Father, as we come into Your presence this morning, God, once again, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we're confronted so much of the time as we study Your Word with the truth of Your Word. And rarely is it that we come to Your Word and we don't see something that we need to take action on. And Father, that's not a bad thing. And we're not mad about that, because we understand that what You're doing through that process is making us more like Yourself. So, Father, if there's somebody here today, Lord God, that has realized that my worship has strayed, that I've not been as faithful about what I give to God, about the praise that I give Him, about the acknowledgement that I even acknowledge that God is at work in my life. I get up in the morning, I fail to remember that God gave me a brand new day, filled my lungs with air, and gave my heart the power to beat. And Father, we forget those things, and we live our lives one day at a time, and we do it our way. And every time we do that, God, we drift a little further and further until the point where we realize that, Father, our worship has been rejected. Father, if that's the case here today for any of us, I pray that You would convict us, and that we would not respond the way Cain responded, but God, we would bring our emotions in check. We would agree with You, God, and say, yes, You're right, God. I'm wrong. I have been wrong. I have, Lord, walked away from Your plan and Your purpose for my life. But now, God, I'm coming home. Heavenly Father, help us, dear Lord, to understand these things. Help us to realize that without You, we're lost and undone. And Father, help us to acknowledge You in all of our ways. Again, Lord, if there's someone here that has a prayer need, I pray that they would come and give the need, give that experience, lay it at Your feet, Father, so that You may take it up and restore them. I love You, Lord. We love You. We ask all this in Your name. Amen.